So we're in this series called the Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. So in the past few weeks, we spoke about the Kingdom of God will begin with John the Baptist, right? He cried out in the wilderness and says, "Repent, for the Kingdom of God is near." And then Jesus appeared on the scene. And his first act was confrontation with Satan. This is because Jesus invaded Satan's domain. By gaining victory over Satan, Satan's temptations, King Jesus can release the captive who are in bondage to sin. So his temptation, he was led by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. This is all in God's design. Then kingdom people enjoy the freedom in Christ are to call to seek first the kingdom of God. For in the kingdom, when you read that verse, "seek first the kingdom of God," it's a present tense. It's a continuous tense. So for the kingdom and for the kingdom people, there is no tomorrow. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't talk too much about tomorrow, what will happen tomorrow? He does talk about future, but not about tomorrow. And what Jesus here means that you seek me today. As a kingdom people, we live in the perpetual present. You understand that? Perpetual presence. In other words, you live in the present today. And tomorrow you live in his presence again. Then, day after that, you live in his presence again. So this is perpetual every day like that. And that's how seek ye first the kingdom of God meant. Is that you live in the perpetual presence of God. And when you do that, God promised that all necessity to carry life for today, he will provide. He will provide all necessity to carry life today. So that was one of the sermon. And last week, we spoke about how do you get into this kingdom. The kingdom people are to enter it through the road that is less traveled. Kingdom people are not like the people in the world. And we are called alien and pilgrim through this world. Kingdom people are to do things differently, live differently, have a different worldview and a very different value system. But most importantly, the kingdom people have a special and personal relationship with the King. King Jesus knew each one of you, each one of the kingdom people by name. You know, these are for us seems to be easy to understand. We receive it, we say, "Wow, this is God speaking. I understand. I am the kingdom people." However, not everyone understands the kingdom lessons or accept Jesus' teaching. I remember when I was preaching the gospel in our church in Richmond, there are two people who sit side by side, hear the same thing. One received it and one rejected. Same message. So today, Jesus explained why. And this conversations about why there's some people who don't understand, there's some people who happily and rejoice at the hearing of the word. Jesus explained why. And Jesus used parable to tell us why. Parables are interesting. In today's lesson, in today's text, Jesus explained the parables. But But in other places, he does not explain the parable. The reason for parable is used to hide the truth as much as it is to reveal the truth. To hide the truth and also to reveal the truth. So he said, how can that be both? Well, two people hear the same words, preaching, one received it gladly and one rejected. So it's not unusual. It's that the word of God, sometimes for some people, it's manna from heaven, it nourishes their soul. For some other people, just like wind past your ear, you don't ever notice. So Jesus explained that. Why? Jesus explained why he used parable. And let me read it. This is in Matthew 13, verse 1 to verse 23. So verse 1 to verse 9, he said the parable. He told them the parables. And then from verse 10, disciple asked Jesus a question. And Jesus answered them from verse 11 to verse 17. Sometimes you wonder, why does Matthew include that? Because what Jesus said is the key to understand parables, and also is the key to understand anything God says. Anything God says. Anything the Bible says. And then verse 18 to verse 23, Jesus explained it to his disciples, what these parable means. So there's three portions to it. Okay, that verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fall on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times. That was so. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10, the disciple came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And verse 11, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. And this is why some understand, some don't understand. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because you see, and you hear because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and religious men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. This is the explanation now. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, and the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, make it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understand it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask your Holy Spirit come and explain this parable. And especially the middle part, Lord Jesus, sometimes we still have doubts. We still are sort of kind of fuzzy about what you're really trying to say to us. We just pray, Lord Jesus, you make it clear. As I preach it, Lord, you make it clear also to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know that if Jesus did not have the middle part of this story, I think it'd be easier to preach. Well, there is the parable, it tells you what happened, and then there's the explanation, then everybody says, okay, I understand it. But in the middle part, you know, it seems to say there's some people who see, but they really don't see, who hear, really didn't hear, and otherwise, you know, it seems like Jesus really don't want them to know. So Jesus deliberately hides something from them. Because Jesus was afraid if they know and they see and they will turn around and then he has to forgive them. It seems like that's the reading. When you first read that portion, it seems like that's what Jesus is saying. But that is not what Jesus meant. I think for us, you know, we coming from evangelical traditions. So it seems like either you believe that God chooses you or you choose God. I mean, they cannot coexist. Either God chooses you or you choose God. That's the Calvinism and Arminianism in the nutshell. Either you choose God or God chooses you. But you know, the biblical writer never had these issues. This is the issue in the 15th, 16th century beginning. Biblical writer never had that. Biblical writer can easily have both. That's like, you look at Kamala Harris. Is she Indian or is she black? Is she Indian or is she black? Well, she can be both. And in fact, she is both, right? So, you know, this idea about you got to be either you are chosen or no. I choose God. I receive God into my heart. God gave me a choice. It's artificial. It's an artificial argument. In the Bible, there's never a problem. Bible, in this verse, in this story, Matthew wants to emphasize there is a sovereignty of God, right? He reveals. But then there's also the responsibility of the people who hear it. How do you respond to it? You know, the reason people do not respond positively to the message is because in verse 15, the heart is callous. The heart is callous. They do not. They already, when they hear the words, their heart is not soft. The soil of the heart is not there to receive the words. So you cannot say, okay, God sort of kind of condemn them to hell or condemn them to an unbelieving heart. Because in the beginning, their heart is already hardened. So the message falls on deaf ear. But let's just a panorama view of this verse, this story, because the sowing is illustrate this truth. So let's look at from verse 1 to verse 9, the sowing part, you immediately notice is that the sowing is indiscriminate. See, he says, he goes out to sow his seed. Verse 3, as he was sowing, the seed, some fall here and there, everywhere. So the first thing you realize is that when the farmer goes sow, he does not say, okay, I see this is rocky soil, so I'm not going to waste my seed there. Or there's a path, road. I'm not going to sow there either. I'm only going to sow on this soil that I have cultivated and that is clean. No, he just go on and sow. Throw the seed everywhere. So the sowing is indiscriminated. Some fell in good places, some doesn't. What does that say about the message of God? I mean, if we're going to say these seeds are the words of God, a word of God or the truth, well, everybody gets to hear it. Everybody gets to hear it. God does not distinguish because I choose you, so therefore I'm going to pay a special attention to you. I'm going to give you all the truth so you will know. And these people, I did not choose them, so forget them. Forget about them. No. And then second part about this verse 1 to verse 9 is that the soil makes all the difference, right? It's not the sowing. The sowing is everywhere. But the soil makes all the difference. He's talking about there are four types of soil, right? There's the path that is compacted, is hard, people travel on it. And then there is the other soil, which is full of rocks, but it does have dirt. And then there's the soil that with other weeds, other seeds there, you know, because it spring out thorn. Later, those weeds, the seed of weeds is embedded in that kind of soil. And then you have the good soil, which we'll talk about it later. So only the seed sown on the good soil produce crops. All these other seeds either disappear or die. Only the seed sown on the good soil generate life and produce crops. And then, verse 9, he said, let him who has ear listen. Let him hear. But I thought, you know, everybody has ears, so everybody ought to listen. But Jesus was speaking about ear that listen, ear that wants to hear, ears that understand. Unlike those who has ear, but who hears but did not listen, who sees but did not really see. So Jesus already in verse 9 challenged people. You hear? Now. And then the table is set by Jesus for us to either feast or famine. He used this parable to feed us or starve others. Or they maybe they're already starving, but they just don't know that there is a feast, a table in front of them. And then the questions. Why do you speak to the people in parables? Well, we already said it. Parable, purpose of parable to conceal as much as it is revealed. The concealed part of it is sort of kind of challenge the hearer to either to think about it, or if they don't understand, ask about it. If they have a heart to pursue the truth. Because most of the time, if they're not interested, they just, okay, hear it. Okay, so what? And this is what Jesus is saying, is that though seeing, they do not see. Because they don't have a desire to see, because their heart is callous. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. So the challenge to understand parable and understand any of God's word is not just hearing it, is that you have to pursue it. You have to say, what does that mean, Jesus? What do you mean, this parable? I don't understand. Could you explain it to me? This is called pursuing, really want to hear, and really want to understand. You know, sometimes I feel God uses certain things, certain words, certain truths to arouse your curiosity. What? Why do you say that, God? Why do you say that in the Bible? Why do you say that if I love my parents more than I love you, I'm not worthy of you? What does that mean? This is not what I was told growing up in the Chinese family. You are to love your parents above everybody else. You have to take care of them. So, but what do you mean, God, that if I don't love you more than, how do I love you more than they? Well, these are the things that scripture verses that comes, and then you need to pursue it. You need to say, okay, what does that mean? I see it, but I don't understand. But my heart tells me this is the truth, and I want to know. You know, I think the challenge for us as we read the scripture is that we just read it. You know? So we are forever reading it, but never really understand it, because we never question, why is you say that? Scripture are word of God, you know, and the word of God is, a lot of time it's not so easy to understand, because they speak about spiritual things. They speak about the future things. They speak about things that we normally not encounter. So you can't just read the scripture. Okay, I do my devotion today. I read this passage. And then move on. This is, you know, I think, I will not say this is a callous heart, but I think this is an indifferent heart. You know, I feel that the Lord doesn't want to force himself upon you. In other words, hey, wake up. You got to know this truth. I'm telling you. Okay, I'm just going to repeat it 50 more times so you get it. No, the Lord is not going to force himself upon you. You need to respond to the Lord. You need to respond in order to understand what he is saying. You know, in this is what we call a dialogue with the Holy Spirit. You talk to him, he talks to you. Sometimes when he responds to you, you still don't understand. You continue to pursue. And eventually, I will not say eventually you will know, but sometimes the Lord may tell you, well, you're just not smart enough to know. Not yet. Not smart enough to know. You don't have enough experience to know what I'm saying. Then, okay. But this is what Jesus is using parable, is that he is inviting people who doesn't understand, but who does want to know, to pursue him. Because, you know, the disciples are not super Christians. They are kind of dull in some ways. They ask Jesus. Whenever they don't understand something, they come and ask Jesus, what do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? Am I the one that you say will betray you? Am I the one? You know? So in other words, you constantly see this dialogue between Jesus and his disciples. That's how he teaches us. That's how Jesus teaches all of us to reveal himself to us. So my encouragement for you is just, you don't understand, just says, okay, leave it alone. Continue to pursue. You said, Lord Jesus, I don't understand anything. All these are mystery to me. Everything says there is mystery to me. That's okay. Just pick a passage and say to God, God, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? Because what God really wants to do is to see your heart, to see if you have this will to pursue him, to wanting to know who he is. And that requires some effort. Okay, so that's the reason why he used parable. In the middle part of from verse 11 to verse 15, there is a election portion of the theology in verse 11. The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. It seems like, okay, there seems to be an election there that God has chosen to reveal this to you, but not to them. But then later on, he says, these people are callous. Their heart is callous. That's why they see, they don't understand. So there is seems to also suggest there is a responsibility on the people who hear the words to pursue it. So there's two sides. Biblical writers are happy with that. This is okay, you can do, you know. There's not in conflict with each other. That's just the way that God operates. Just because you choose God does not minimize his sovereignty, okay? Just because you choose it doesn't mean that God is surprised that you choose him. Okay, so the explanations part of it. Explanation part. Let's quickly get through that. And the ones on the path. Compacted. These are the people, obviously, are the ones that Jesus says in Isaiah. The heart become callous. So there's no penetrations of the seed, the truth, into their hearts. They don't understand the gospel. A kingdom, what do they desire to understand the gospel? So Satan come and snatch them away. Satan come and snatch it away. That's the example I gave you. Two people who hear the same words, one received it, one just rejected, and never showed up in the church again. You know? Interesting. And who are these people? in Jesus' time, and Jesus is speaking about these Pharisees and the teacher of law. They already form an opinion on Jesus no matter what Jesus said and did. They reject it. They reject it. They are modern day Pharisees too. These are people that Paul described them as that they are forever learning but never come to acknowledge the truth. These are people who approach Jesus Christ not with an open mind, but with a closed mind. Their heart is locked up, so the gospel cannot penetrate. That's why they forever learning, but never gain any understanding. Never gain any understanding. And the seed fall on the rocky soil. They hear you with joy, but never consider the cost of receiving the gospel in their lives. When they find out the cost, they are unwilling to pay the price. Jesus described them as unwilling to carry the cross. Persecution comes. Trouble comes, and they quickly fall away. Now, I suppose the persecution and troubles are because of their belief, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So they come to these believers, and then they fall away. You know, many people are like that. Counting the cost of following Jesus will drive a lot of them away. Or they receive Jesus without knowing what the cost is. Without knowing what the cost is. We're not even talking about being persecuted. We're not even talking about, you know, you being rejected by people. We're talking about just cost of coming to church on Sunday. Some people just says, okay, you know, there are many things to do for me. My time is precious. So, I cannot come every Sunday. And these are some very, I think, basic things that people are unwilling to come to pay. And how about offering, making offerings? You know? Making offering is a privilege to acknowledge God's blessing in your life. You make offerings. It's not that you always take from God. There will be time when you, out of your gratefulness, that you offer to God, right? And that's a cost, because that money you can use it for other things too. So these are the cost a lot of these modern Christians have never really considered. So, when something doesn't happen the way they desire, they say, well, this is not useful to me. I don't need to come to church. It's cost-benefit analysis. You know, a lot of these people never really did. Before they believe, never did a cost-benefit really think through that about that. And then the seed fell among the thorns. And this is probably by far the most common among people who call themselves Christians. These people are unfruitful. Now, they've been choked up by what? By the deceitfulness of the wealth, right? Worries of life. Wow, man, how else you're supposed to describe this life? Worries and money and fame. These are the things for a person who has really never considered to give up or to consider how to deal with that. these are the people very easily can be just, you know, swept away by these things. I think all of you guys are going to graduate, I presume, soon, right? And then after you graduate, you're going to find a job, right? Start earning money instead of spending money. You know, some of you might make a lot of money in the future. I don't know. You know, deceitfulness of wealth sometimes choke your spiritual life. That's what Jesus is saying. Deceitfulness of wealth. You think money can do many things for you. You think money is worth your pursuing it. Those are deceitfulness of the world. So these people, whose the truth of God saw in their heart, maybe when they were in college, they received Jesus and said, oh, this is good. I like this message about forgiveness. I love this message about grace. I love love. But once they go out into the world, and there's other things competing with all these spiritual truth, they choke up their lives. You know, we have young people who, you know, when they were young and then they were in college and come to our church. This is in Richmond. They were enthusiastic. They were enthusiastic. We have prayer meeting. Usually we have, you know, 10, 15 these young people who come to pray, which is, you know, unusual. That's because I think we feed them. We said, to come, you have dinner, and then we can pray. So they all come. But then, you know, after they graduate, they scatter everywhere and work. Few people continually keep in step with God. You know, these people just disappear into the world. Their life has been choked up by whatever they're doing, you know. Whatever, I mean, wealth is just one. There's many other things that will tempt you and choke up your spiritual life. These are the soil that had the weeds in already. And then there's good soil, right? Good soil. And this is the only soil that has life. That's the only soil that has life. And how do you know they have life? Because they reproduce. They reproduce. And that's what Jesus says. Some of these seeds fell on good soil. Some of the seeds fell on good soil and they produce crops. So I don't know where are you? What is your heart soil is like? You know, only God knows. Only God knows. But I just want you to take away is that don't ever let your heart become callous. You know, when your heart becomes callous, nothing penetrates. No truth penetrates. Not the Spirit of God can penetrate. You know, sometimes God is merciful to us. When we come to that point, sometimes God will blow us up. You know, blow your heart up. Something traumatic could happen. And then sort of kind of wake you up so you had to return to Jesus. But you know, that is, I don't want God to spank me. Right? I mean, how many of you want God to spank you? No, right? So keep your heart tender. Keep your heart tender towards Him by asking questions, by going into the words, not just reading it, but really meditate on it. He who meditates on the Word of God is like a tree planted by the water. It bears fruit. in season. So there is a certain responsibility. I mean, we say God chooses us. God chooses me. I know that. But at the same time, is that I have a responsibility to respond to Him. I could be one of those seed that falls on rocky soil. I hear with great joy, but never really count the cost. So when life becomes difficult, I reject it. I fall apart. Or that the seeds fall on the soil that's full of weeds and choke me. There is going to be a response that you have towards God. And then I think that's when you show the life and the crops. And then Isaiah 6:9 says, then you see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart, and you turn, and God speaks to you. God speaks to you, and God will forgive you. So, that's the kingdom people. That's the kingdom people. That's their, you know, kingdom people are not perfect. But kingdom people always pursues God. Always pursues God and responding to God. Responding to God. Kingdom people heart are not callous, but soft. And so the word, the truth of God can take root, take truth there, and eventually bear crops. So that's kingdom people. And is that a secret to the kingdom? Yes, I think for people who don't understand it, it's a secret. Sometimes some people say, you know, why do you believe that? You know, it just seems so unreasonable. Isaiah even says that, right? You know, who will believe our message about a suffering Messiah? Who will believe that? Well, when you hear it, you don't understand it, you ask. And eventually the Lord will show it to you why suffering and death is necessary for your salvation, for my salvation. But you need to respond. The word is there. The word is preached. But you need to respond to it. Okay, so that is our message for this week.